pianist Jeffrey Beagle performing in San Antonio April 6th at the First Unitarian Universalist Church. The concert is at 7:30. You can buy your tickets at the door. This concert coming to you under the auspices of the San Antonio International Piano Competition. Mr. Beagle, I recently saw a tweet of yours where you mentioned a concert in Norway.
I don't know. I've been bad on there. I just started on there, and I tell you, it's finding myself tweeting around all over the place. It's a little daunting, actually. Which one, what did I do now? Which one did you refer to?
This is the one where you're talking about your upcoming Norwegian trip.
We're still playing with the programming and everything, but it's an interesting story because, the way it went was I entered a competition back in 1985 at the University of Maryland, and it was the first time back then that they had the finals with the National Symphony at the Kennedy Center, and I was playing the Prokofiev's Second Piano Concerto, and one of the jury members was a Norwegian pianist, and he says, you know, and I won the competition, and afterwards he came to me and says, we're having the very first ever international piano competition in Oslo. We've never had it before, and I really think you should enter. So I did, and the finals, it was the same concerto also. The finals were with the Oslo Philharmonic, which was really nice. And then as a result, it's been, now it's 25 years. And I had stayed in touch with the people who organized it, and they emailed me a couple of weeks ago and just said, you know, we're doing a 25th anniversary occasion for this competition, which is hard to believe in itself. But what happened over the years is they switched it from piano to voice. So it's taken on a very big vocal role in the world of vocal competitions worldwide. And what they want to do is, in celebrating the competition and its 25 years, they asked if I would come and perform. And most likely, Queen Sonia plans to be there. And she was the Crown Princess Sonia when I was in the competition. And then she, of course, became elevated to Queen. And they asked me, of course, to play some pieces that are related to voice. So there'll be some Liszt transcriptions of Verdi and Wagner excerpts from their operas, is what it is.
It's been a while since I've had the honor of interviewing you, Jeffrey, and before we get started about your upcoming concert here in San Antonio, congratulations. It seems you're the first pianist to be recorded for the new Steinway label.
And I always ask them why. So, I think it's just because, they said it quite frankly, you know, you have a, because I think I like to embrace the different styles of music, and if they want a Christmas album, I'll give them a Christmas album. If they want a Bach album, they'll get that. The next releases on May 28th, and I think they probably want to save all of the pre-release buzz on their end. But what I could say is that it's going to be a tribute to a lot of the great pianists of the, I would say, of the 20th century, the early 20th century, some of the pieces that were in vogue, some of the virtuosic pieces that some considered unplayable, kind of just a tribute to that, what I call the golden age of the piano.
Let me get to our upcoming concert, because I'd like to get some input from you about that. The concert starts with the familiar sonata of Beethoven in F minor, the Appassionata, and this is a favored sonata of Beethoven. One, it has a name, and they always tend to be the ones that we remember, but also it invites passion. And when you play this, how much of the passion is in the notes with Beethoven, and how much do you bring to the table as the artist performing it?
You know, when I play any of these pieces, I put the composer's hat on, and I imagine that I am the composer just recreating the piece that they wrote. And I try not to get in the way of that. The fact that Beethoven grew increasingly deaf through his middle to end of his life. You know, when I go into a piece like, especially the Appassionata, he's just shaking his fists up at the heavens, saying, almost like, why did you do this to me? Why me? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that piece is all about, and this, and you know, what's going to happen to me. And it's the fate motive, bum, 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 bum. So he has that fate motive in there.
Next on the program, we have contrasting pieces by Liszt, the first literarily inspired, and then the second from Liszt the Nationalist.
I like that pairing. It's you get to hear Liszt in his in a very most lyrical, passionate way, and then the Hungarian Rhapsody is just a lot of fun to play. Very beautiful piece.
And then you have another contrast with the Chopin that follows. And I don't know if Chopin's Barcarolle is the first Barcarolle, but it certainly inspired thousands of Barcarolles after it. But I can't think of one of them better than his.
No, it's truly beautiful. Yeah, I've played others, but that is really quite beautiful. I think Fauré wrote later on some Barcarolles. Moskowski has a very nice one, but it's a very short piece. But this is quite an amazing piece because he goes into harmonic deviations and modulations that are very advanced. And it's Opus 60. It's a late piece of his. And it's terrific. It's really a beautiful work. F-sharp, and the scherzo begins on F-sharp in a way, so it's almost connective, even though they're some 21 opuses apart. But one is the very tender lyrical side of Chopin, and the scherzo is the very fiery, passionate side with extreme beauty in the middle. The chorale with all the filigree is really beautiful. I don't know how anyone could compose music like this. The older I get, the more I think of, how did these guys write this music? And it's just incredible that they could actually do it. And many of them died in their 30s, and you wonder, how did they do this? It's all this music so young.
You know, I was thinking of Leonard Bernstein at one of the Norton lectures when he said something about, oh, wait a minute, there's this music, it's upside down and backwards. And, you know, and he had that kind of brain because he was one of our geniuses from America. And he said once that knowing too much music was kind of a hardship because you would start writing some notes and suddenly you saw it turning into something else.
If I thought of something I think is great, somebody's probably either thinking of it at the same time or did already. And I remember the composer Ellen Tate Swillick, because I said, yeah, that reminds me. She wrote a couple of pieces for me. And I said, that little bit of Gershwin in there, it's great. She says, well, you know, everything that's been written has been written before. So, meaning, you know, we're just kind of, it's all a play on words. We're all playing telephone and we're trying to say something different. And
Well, then comes one of the Rachmaninoff preludes, and I always find his preludes kind of different than the other composers that did preludes, because they did kind of a very symmetrical set. You know, I've got 12 here and I've got 12 here, and he did, what, 10 in each?
In each set, yeah, it's strange.
Well, with Rachmaninoff's preludes and so many of his works, he's got the two guys. He's got the dark, stern, Moscow's burning kind of a thing. And then he has the very light and beautiful. How would you characterize the fifth prelude of the Opus 32?
That's definitely falls in the latter. It's a very ethereal, beautiful piece that's just very calm and quiet in a way. There's nothing big and virtuosic about it. It's his sense of impressionism.
The recital ends with an old favorite, and one of those where you have so many different touches, thanks to Schultz-Evler his transcription of the beautiful Blue Danube. I think it's not so much a transcription, but it's kind of a fantasy, isn't it?
I think so, too. It's like it's an arrangement of the orchestral piece, but the whole opening is very different from his introduction. It has nothing to do with the Strauss. So really, it's actually called Concert Arabesques, believe it or not. Concert Arabesques by the beautiful Blue Danube.
Jeffrey, thanks so much for your time.
It's a pleasure, and I really appreciate the interview and that you just knew so much about that history of those great pianists, and very few do.
Yeah, well, I'm the piano guy, so.
There you go. Did you study piano?
Yes, I studied with an old English teacher. His name was Rodney Hoare, and he studied with Matthias Matte in Britain.
There you go.
And he knew he was a cousin to Rachmaninoff, and, you know, he had so many great stories. It was great.
That must be. Wow. Oh, that must have been a great thrill to work with someone like that connected to these people.
Yeah.
I know the feeling. It's today it's not the same because it's a generation or two after, so.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to pianist Jeffrey Beagle, who will be appearing in San Antonio under the auspices of the San Antonio International Piano Series. The concert will be this coming Saturday, April 6th at 7:30 in the evening at the First Unitarian Universalist Church, and that's across I-10 from Wonderland Mall. On the program, music of Beethoven, Liszt, Chopin, Rachmaninoff, and Johann Strauss. You can buy your tickets at the door. For Texas Public Radio, I'm Randy Anderson.